Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Jesse Salem, and together we are studying Sefer Yehoshua.
Yehoshua Perek Heh. In this Perek, we will see two important mitzvot performed by Bnei Israel right after they enter into the land. Pasuk Aleph. Vayichi Shmoa kol malchei ha'emori asher be'ever ha'yarden yamma. Vechol malchei ha'kena'ani asher ala yam. So it was when all the nations of the Emori who were on the western side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Kena'ani, who are on the west along the Mediterranean, et asher hovish Adonai et me'a yarden penem b'nei Yisrael ad Avram, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dried out the waters of the Yarden from in front of b'nei Yisrael until they passed, v'yimas debavam, their hearts melted. They didn't have any more, v'lo hayabam od ruach mipenei b'nei Yisrael, they didn't have any more spirit, any more courage from Bnei Israel. So this first pasuk is an important link between last perek and this one. It's a summary of last perek, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at the end that the miracle of the splitting of the Jordan served as a way to show the other nations God's strength in the world. We see here that it worked, and they didn't have any courage to stand up to Israel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise in last perek, Lema'an da'at kol me'aretz et yad Adonai ki hazakahi, it happened. It worked. And it also serves, this pasuk also serves as an important introduction to the upcoming mitzvah of Brit Milah. We know that Bnei Yisrael did not perform Brit Milah in the desert due to the dangers there. It was makom sakana. It would be unbefitting to put an entire nation in the weakest and most vulnerable state on the day they crossed into enemy territory. Think about it. They are coming to conquer a land, and the day they cross the border, God will command everyone to get a circumcision. This is only possible if the nations are literally petrified of Bnei Israel. And that's what this opening pasuk is coming to tell us. To show the fright the nations had of Israel, allowing for the rest of this perek to develop the way it did. And pasuk bet continues, Ba'etahi, at that moment, the moment when none of the nations had any courage to fight Israel, Amar Adonai Yehoshua, Ase lecha harvot surim, v'shuv molet bnei Yisrael shenit. Hashem told Yehoshua, make for yourselves harvot surim. These are sharp flint stones. At the time, bnei Yisrael do not have any iron. We're still at the transition of the late Bronze Age to the early Iron Age, and Bnei Yisrael have been traveling in a desert for 40 years without any access to iron. So, here they use flintstones. Also, I mentioned that harbot is in plural, indicating that many mohalim aided in helping circumcise all of Bnei Yisrael. And Yehoshua has commanded, once again, molet Bnei Yisrael shenit, circumcise Bnei Yisrael, a second time. This is the second time that Bnei Yisrael performed this mitzvah as a nation. The first time being before their first Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Vaya'as lo Yehoshua harvot surim, and Yehoshua made for himself these sharp flintstones. Vayamol et Bnei Yisrael el Givat Ha'aralot, and he circumcised Bnei Yisrael at Givat Ha'aralot. So Yehoshua, as Vayamol is in singular form over here, it's pointing out though that there were others that helped out Yehoshua. But being that Yehoshua was the one given the commandment, he's the one that's given the credit over here. And what's this place called? This place is called Givat Ha'aralot. The place literally means the hill of foreskins, based on the event that just occurred there. Givat Ha'aralot is right near Gilgal. Dr. Ben Arzi actually identified a hill right along the Jordan River with tons of flintstones on it. Its location alongside the river also makes a lot of sense, since Bnei Yisrael would need the fresh water source to aid in the healing and general sanitary health. I thought it was pretty interesting. V'zeh davar asher mal Yehoshua. This is the reason that Yehoshua circumcised them. כל העם היוסים ממצרים הזכרים, כל אנשי המלחמה מתו במדבר בדרך בסתם ממצרים. The entire nation who left Egypt, the males, the men of war, meaning anyone over 20, died in the desert on the way when they were leaving Egypt. Right? This is just as God promised that every male over 20 years of age will die in the desert as a punishment to Haitam Meragilim. You could see Bemidbar, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Lamed Gimal. Over there it says, Upigrechem atem yipelu bamidbar hazeh. So the only men in Bnei Yisrael that received the Brit Milah were under the age of 20 at the time of Haitam Meragilim. Kimulim hayu kol ha'am hayoseim. V'chol ha'am hayilodim bamidbar baderech besetam Yisraim lo malu. Because the entire nation who left Egypt, they were circumcised. And the entire nation of the children that were born in the desert on the way when they left Egypt did not get circumcised. So we know that everyone received the Brit Milah before Pesach Mitzrayim, the Korban Pesach that they brought in Egypt. We saw that the Torah clearly forbade any uncircumcised male from eating from the Korban Pesach. See Shemot, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Mem Chet, over there. It says, Kol v'chol arel lo yochal bo. So everyone after that did not receive a Brit Milah. Now, we don't see any reprimand from Navi ever about this, so it's fair to assume that Bnei Israel not circumcising themselves during the years in the desert was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's approval. Chazal give their reason, Shelo Nashba Ruach Sefonit. Radak and others though explain that it was a time of Sakana. Bnei Israel never knew when they would have to get up and travel. They were a nation wandering in a desert, and they had to travel when the Amud Anam rose and led the way. So for 40 years, any children born in the desert were left uncircumcised. And now, right after they enter Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua is commanded to circumcise everyone. Now, a little side note that Radak mentions in this perek. For those of us that are familiar with the Pesukim from the Chumash, we know that Bnei Yisrael did bring one other Korban Pesach after they left Egypt. And that was in the second year of their travels in the desert. See Bemidbar Perek Tet. Right there in the beginning of the perek, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana ha'shinit l'setam eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon nemor, v'yasu b'nei Yisrael at ha'pasach b'moado. B'nei Yisrael should bring their korban pesach in its right time. And we're told there that they brought it kechol chukotav u'chechol mishpatav of the original korban pesach, which all the laws of the original korban pesach, which includes the law that any uncircumcised male cannot eat from it. Not only that, but as Rambam learns halacha from the pasuk there, umalta oto az yochal bo, that every man and his entire household must receive a brit milah before participating in the korban. And if one person from the household doesn't, the household, the owner of the household, they can't bring the korban either. So at least according to Radak and Rambam, Bnei Yisrael did circumcise their kids while they were encamped in Midbar Sinai, building the Mishkan that first year. They weren't traveling, they knew they weren't traveling, and due to the lack of any dangers, they were able to circumcise their kids. From then on, though, due to the dangers of traveling for the next 39 years, no one received a Brit Milah. Now, with no Brit Milah all the years in the desert, that would explain the no Korban Pesach for all those years, as the Korban is contingent upon everyone receiving a Milah, which in itself is only doable in a safe setting. Next Pasuk Vav, Ki Arba'im Shana Lechu B'nei Yisrael Bamidbar, because for 40 years B'nei Yisrael went, they traveled in the desert, Ad Tom Kol HaGoy Anshei HaMilchama Yoseim Mimisraim, until the entire nation were finished off, the men of war, men over 20 who left Egypt, were finished off, Asher lo shamu b'kol Adonai, who didn't listen to the word of God, Asher nishba Adonai lahem, libilti arotam et ha'aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to them, right? This is the swear by Parashat Meragelim, and by Midbar Perek Yudalid, not to bring them, not to show them the land, Asher nishba Adonai la'avotam la'atet lanu, the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us, Eretz Zevat Chalav Udvash, land flowing of milk and honey. Ve'et b'nehem hekim tahtam otam mal Yoshua. And their children, the children of these men of Dor HaMidbar that died, their children, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set in place of their fathers, just as he said he would, right? Lahem etenena vehem yirashua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that over there. Otam al Yehoshua. Those were the people that Yehoshua circumcised. Ki arelim hayu, ki lo malu otam badarech. Because they were uncircumcised. They did not receive a brit milah on the road. Vahi ka'asher tammu chol hagoy lehimol. And it was when the entire nation finished getting circumcised. Vayeshevu tahtam b'machane ad hayotam. And they sat in their place, in the machane, until they got better, until they were healed. And they didn't worry of any other nations attacking them in their fragile state. Now that they have a brit milah, they can move on to perform the mitzvah of Korban Pesach once again. And Hashem speaks to Yehoshua, Vayomer Adonai Yehoshua, Hayom galoti et harpat Mitzrayim me'alechem. Vayikra Hashem ha'makom ahu Gilgal ad hayom hazeh. Hashem told Yehoshua, today I have removed the harpa of Mitzrayim, the disgrace of Egypt, from upon you. And Yehoshua called the place Gilgal until this very day. So what's this disgrace of Egypt, this disgrace of Mitzrayim that was removed? This can either be building off the last parasha, that Bnei Yisrael received the Brit Milah, which set them apart from the disgrace of the Egyptians who were uncircumcised, or, as Rabbi Yosef ibn Kaspi writes, in a more larger context, that now that Bnei Yisrael entered the land of Israel, they were looked upon with disgrace by the Egyptians until now, meaning as Mitzrayim still saw Bnei Yisrael as their slaves. Now that they entered Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed that disgrace of Egypt. And he called this place Gilgal, meaning Yehoshua called this place Gilgal, playing on the word Galoti, the removal of Harpat Mitzrayim. Now we did see Gilgal named earlier in last Perek. It can be that here Yehoshua is not naming it for the first time, rather he was Doresh, the name of the town based on the word of God. Similar to Be'er Sheva, named by Abraham and Yitzchak, and clearly there for two different reasons. Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael ba'Gilgal, b'nei Yisrael encamped in Gilgal, vayasu ta Pesach, b'arba'a asar yom l'chodesh ba'ayrev b'arvot Yericho. And they brought a sacrifice to Korban Pesach on the 14th day of the month, in the 14th of Nisan, Ba'erev, over here meaning Ben Ha'arbaim, in the afternoon, when the sun starts setting to the west, we know that's the time they have to bring the Korban Pesach, in the plains of Yericho. Vayochilu me'avur ha'ares mimachorat ha'pesach masot ve'kalui be'esim ha'yom hazeh. And they ate from the crop of the land. Radak explains that the Navi chose the word avur, since it is referring to yashan, from the language of avar, pest, old wheat. And they can only eat new wheat after the Korban HaOmer is brought on the 16th of Nisan. That is the Korban brought from the new barley every year on the 16th of Nisan, which allows for the eating of the new produce that grew over the last year. And when were they eating these crops? Mimachorat HaPesach, the day after Pesach, I'll explain in a second. Matzot ve'kalui, they ate unleavened bread and roast the grain be'etzem ha'yom hazeh on that very day. So, when is this? When is this Mimachorat HaPesach? Radak explains Pesach, the day of Korban Pesach, which is Yudalid. Now, Mimachorat HaPesach, the day after that, is the 15th. That's when they ate from the old crop, as the Korban, which is born on the 16th, still wasn't brought yet. And the next pasuk, we continue, Vayishpot haman mimachorat, be'ochlam me'avur ha'aretz, the man, right, stopped the next day when they were eating from the avur ha'aretz, from the crop of the land. So, when did the man stop? So, according to Radak, it stopped the day after Korban Pesach. Ends up being also on the 15th, when the man stopped. According to Hazal, though, who say that the man stopped on the 16th, they ate man until the 16th, it's the day after last Pasuk when they ate from the Yashan. Other Mefarshim explain that last Pasuk and this Pasuk are the day after Pesach, but not the day after the Korban, rather meaning the day after the first day of the holiday of Pesach, as we know as Hag HaMasot. Whichever pirush you take, this is the last time that Bnei Yisrael eat the man from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now going forward, they will be eating from the crop of Eretz Yisrael. V'lo haya od Bnei Yisrael man, Bnei Yisrael did not have any more man, v'yochelu mitevuat Eretz Kena'an b'shanahi, and they ate from the produce of Eretz Kena'an that year. And there's an interesting play on words over here. They brought the Pesach Ba'erev by Arvot Yericho, and they ate Me'avur Ha'aretz. Now, at the end of the Perek, we'll see Yoshua encounter Sar Seba Hashem. Vahi B'yot Yoshua B'Yericho, and it was when Yoshua was, over here we can explain, near Yericho. V'yisayana v'yar v'hine ish omed l'negdo. And he lifted his eyes and he saw, and there was a man. Right? We'll see that this person is a malach from the rest of the conversation. Omed le'yendo, standing up right opposite him. And a sword was unsheathed in his hand. And Yoshua approached him and he told him, "Are you for us? Or are you against us? Are you here to help us, or are you our enemy?" Vayomer, lo, ki ani sar seva Adonai, ata bati. And he said, no, neither. Rather, I am sar seva Hashem. I am the commander of God's army. I just came. So Radak explains that the Malach came to Yoshua to strengthen him and help him conquer Yericho. According to Radak, the beginning of the next Perek 2, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yoshua, is through this Malach. This Malach appeared with his sword unsheathed in his hand, symbolizing strength. Vayipol Yoshua el panav arsa, vayishtahu, vayomer lo ma adoni medaber el avdo. And Yoshua fell on his face towards the ground, vayishtahu, and he prostrated himself flat on the ground. And he told him, "What does my master have to speak to his servant?" Vayomer sar seva Adonai Yoshua, and this commander of God's army told Yoshua, this malach told Yoshua, "Shal na'alcha me'al raglecha, ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav kodeshu, v'yas Yoshua ken." Remove the shoe off your foot, because this place, the place that you are standing on, is Kodesh. It is holy, and Yoshua did so. Now these words, Shana alcha me'al raglecha, are very familiar to us. Where else do we hear them? To who? In what context? Early in Sefer Shemot, when Moshe was selected by God to be Bnei Yisrael's leader by the Seneh, the burning bush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Shana alcha me'al raglecha, ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav ad mat kodeshu. See Shemot Peregimel Pasuke, nearly verbatim that Yoshua is told here. If we pay attention to the larger context over there, Moshe is chosen as Israel's leader, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lists a two-part mission. He says, "I see Bnei Israel's affliction in Egypt, and one, Va'ered Hatzilo Miyad Misraim, I will descend to save them from Egypt, I will take them out of Egypt, and two, Ulhaloto." And the Pasuk goes on to say, "Il mekom ha-kina'ani, I will bring them to the land of Canaan. I'll bring them to Eretz Yisrael." So I need to take them out of Egypt and I need to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And in Pasuk Yod over there, he turns to Moshe and commands him to take Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt. The second part of God's mission remained unfulfilled for over 40 years. Now as Yoshua completes part 2, he enters Eretz Yisrael, he brings Bnei Yisrael into the land of Israel, and is about to fight his first war in Israel, he is about to fight Yericho, he receives the same vision and experience that Moshe received. The Navi brings us back, linking Yoshua to Moshe. Yoshua is a continuation of what Moshe started. I'm just going to read the next pasuk, as in the Mesorah, it is part of the same parasha. The Navi gives a description of the situation in Yericho, that the city was terrified from Bnei Yisrael. Yericho sogeret umsugeret. Yericho was totally closed off mipnei Bnei Yisrael, from Bnei Yisrael. En Yosef en ba. No one could go out and no one could come in. That closes off Perekeh. We saw the fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon the nations of Canaan, which allowed for the fulfillment of two important mitzvot, Berit Milah and Korban Pesach. It should be noted that these mitzvot are important on a level of halacha and also on a conceptual level. From a perspective of halacha, and practically speaking, these two mitzvot are the only two positive commandments that, if violated, they are subject to karet, a punishment according to Harambam of total disconnect in this world and in next from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish nation. On a conceptual level, if we think about these two mitzvot, they represent an essential part of who we are on a personal and national scale. The Berit Milah is our covenant with God on a personal level. That is the first mitzvah performed in the land of Israel as we enter as a nation. And that represents our personal covenant with God. The Korban Pesach is our covenant with God on a national level. It symbolizes our commitment as a nation, willing to slaughter the worship of the Egyptians, Kol Adat Israel, the entire congregation of Israel, showing their commitment to God, which through this we saw the Geula of Bnei Israel from Egypt. Finally, at the end of the perek, we saw Yoshua encounter Sarasiva Hashem before his battle in Yericho. Next perek, we will see the miraculous battle itself in Yericho.